Masechet Ta'anit Daf Yod Aleph. We have Agadot covering a wide variety of fascinating topics, including some travel advice, and then about joining the pain of a community, and then about reward and punishment. Finally, a fourth is about asceticism. Is it positive or negative? Then the requirement to accept the fast the day before, and then fasting just for a few hours. So last two are halachic topics, but we begin with the Agadah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Chaya HaMelech, Baderech Al Yochal Yoter Mishene Re'avon. When one is walking on the road, one should eat relatively little. How little? The same amount that one eats when there is a famine. When there's a famine, you ration your food because you don't know how long it's going to last, and you have to make a little food last a long time. So too, when you're traveling, you should eat the bare minimum of calories that you need to survive. Why? My tama, hacha targimu mishum ma'ayana, b'madav amre mishum mezoneh. There's two reasons. Here in Bavel, the explanation is because of the digestive system. When one's traveling a lot and always moving, walking, or riding, so then it's not good for one's digestion, so therefore, eat as little as possible so that you won't get a stomach ache. However, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they said because you don't know if you're going to run out of food, you're going on a long trip, you bring a certain amount of provisions, you think it's a three-day trip, but maybe you get lost and it ends up taking more time. So therefore, ration your food as much as possible. My Benai, who will be a practical case in which these two explanations would come to a different conclusion. Ika Benai, who the Atib Be'arba. If someone is traveling by boat, in that case, you're not moving, the boat's moving, and so you don't have to worry about the digestive system getting all worked up because you're walking and traveling a lot. So then you could eat more. Or the other way around, if you're traveling from one station to another, if you're going out in the middle of the desert or forest, so then yeah, you better eat as little as possible. But if you know there's a lot of stations along the way, this word could also mean inns that were on the side of the road. So, even if I eat a lot now, I'm going to come to another rest stop in several miles. So then I don't have to worry about how much I eat. Okay, that's good practical advice. Also good now if you're driving on the highway not to run out of gas. Okay, Rav Papa, kol parsa o parsa achil chadad ifta. Rav Papa, when he traveled, every parsa, about 4 kilometers, he would eat one loaf of bread. Because he said it was because of the bowel movements. So therefore, instead of eating one big meal, and you can understand if you eat a very big meal and then you go and exercise a lot or walk for a long time, then that could hurt. So therefore, he split up his big meal and had only one loaf every couple of miles. And that way he didn't get a stomach ache. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. When there is a time of famine, one should starve himself, not literally so that he doesn't have enough to survive, but in other words, eat as little as possible. And if you do that, not only will you be able to survive the famine because your rations will go long, but also one will be saved from other types of death. Shenemar b'ra'av patdecha. We would expect it to say, from famine, God redeemed the person, and from death. But doesn't say from famine, but rather during famine. So, in other words, because of a person who doesn't hog all the food during a famine, right? You have to, if you eat a little and everyone eats a little, then everyone could survive. If you go eat a lot, then you're causing bad not only to yourself, but also to the rest of the community. So if one eats as little as possible during the time of famine, then as a reward, Hashem will save the person from other types of unusual death. A person may not use his bed, meaning have marital relations, during a time of famine. During a time of famine, it's very sad. People are really suffering. So same idea as before. Just like, even if you happen to have some access to a lot of food, you shouldn't be eating a big meal while everybody else is suffering. So too, the enjoyment with one's wife is prohibited during such a time. And we learn this from Pasuk that Yosef, he knew that a famine was coming and he was storing up for it. And he says he has two sons before the famine came. And we derive from that once the famine started, then he would stop. There is an exception. Someone does not have children, then one may have marital relationship. That's maybe even it's a mitzvah or chovah because of that. Because then it's not simply for enjoyment, but rather actually to have children. And so there's no reason to stop having children totally. So famine will be temporary. Okay, another place we could learn this, the same idea is from the flood, where Hashem tells Noah when he enters into the ark, he separates you and your sons, and then your wife and their and your daughter-in-law separates by gender, which implies that they should separate from each other while the whole world is being destroyed. However, when Hashem tells him to leave, then he says, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. In other words, now you come back together. Now it's time to rebuild, repopulate. Okay, Tenor Rabbanan, Bizman Shisel Shun Besaru, Ferash Echad Mehen Bain Shenem Alacheshet Melvin Olole Adam, Manichin Lo Yedehem Al Roshov, Omerim Peloni Ze, Sheperash Mina Sibor, Al Yed Eben Hamat Sibor. So, more along the theme of joining in with the pain and suffering of the community is when Israel is suffering, something happens, you know, to some community or somewhere in your community, and one person separates himself and he doesn't care about it. He's going having a good time. He's having a party while everybody else is in mourning over something of national consequence. So when a person does that, the two angels that usually accompany a person, so everyone has two angels accompanying and protecting a person. So they put their hands on a person's head and they say, usually put your hands on your head for a blessing, but at this time it's for opposite. And it says, this person who separated himself from the community at a time when they had a need, then he will also not merit to see the consolation of the community. Once you separate yourself, you don't care about the community, then you don't get to enjoy with their joy either. Tanya idach, another baraita says same idea. Is much hasibur sharui besad al yomar adam elech lebeti veochal veeshte veshalom alayich nafshi. When everyone is suffering, person shouldn't go to his house and said, oh, I'm going to eat and drink and I'll be okay. I don't want to care about anybody else, like Yonah, right? Who everybody else is praying and worrying about their lives, and he goes down and has a nice slumber. Even though actually it was all his fault. Okay, long pasuk, but about a person saying, we can have joy and gladness, we'll slay oxen and sheep and eat flesh and drink wine and eat and drink because tomorrow we shall die. In other words, he doesn't care about the suffering of everybody else because he says, oh, we're all going to die anyway, so let's just enjoy it. And therefore, he takes this apathetic attitude. Makati batre benigla beozne Adonai sevot imichupare avon azeh lachem ad temutun. So Hashem says, surely this iniquity will not be expiated by you until you die. And so therefore, that person will not get to see the redemption, the end of that suffering. This, by the way, Rambam takes this very seriously in the laws of conversion. You know, when someone converts, they have to learn a lot of the laws, the serious laws, the light laws. You can't expect every person to learn every siman and shulchan aruch. So they'll grow over time. But a few things a convert has to definitely do, some fundamentals of philosophy, and then Rambam adds in this, that a person, when he joins in as a convert to the Jewish people, he has to participate in their history, participate in their bad times and in their joyous times. This is really a key thing to be a Jew, is to be part of the national experience. Okay, ad kan midat benonim. This is all part of a long baraita, and this baraita so far said that this is an attribute of the middle of the road kind of guy. He's really not a very good guy because he doesn't care about anybody. while that's suffering, he goes and eats and drinks. But that's not even the worst level. Here's another worse, another level worse than that. This person says, another quote, another quote, another pasuk in Yeshaya says, at least these evil people, they know their pasukim from Yeshaya, so that's good. Come, I'll fetch wine and we'll fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant, where we're going to keep partying today and tomorrow will be even more. And even though around them everything is suffering, and what will happen to that person? The righteous perishes, and no man lays it to heart. They're taken away. Even the righteous are taken away, so that he won't see the evil to come. So the righteous people suffer early death to prevent what. Seeing what will happen to these people who are an even worse category. Rather, what should one do? The correct way is to suffer along with the community. When Bnei Yisrael are all fighting with Amalek, and Moshe has his hands up and his hands are heavy. And it says he went and took a stone and he put it under him and he sat on the stone. Well, sitting on the stone is not very comfortable. He's Moshe Rabbeinu. Can't someone find him a pillow, a cushion to sit on so he'd be more comfortable? No, that's the whole point. He didn't want to be comfortable. Ela, kach amar Moshe, ho'il v'Yisrael shurim besar. Afani ayem mahem besar. Moshe's, he's
not a fighter. Maybe he's older already, so he's not going to be on the front line. Nevertheless, because Israel is down there suffering and fighting, I'm not going to sit and relax on a lounge chair. I'm going to be with them. And so to anyone who suffers in the along with the distress of the community will merit to be. To have consolation with them. Okay, what is the difference between the middle category and the worst category? Some say that the members of the middle category refuse to show sympathy towards those who are in distress. They do recognize that they themselves are in danger because they say, "Oh, we're going to die." So, in some sense, they just kind of can't handle the bad things that are going on, and so they lose themselves in merriment, whereas the people that are the worst, like, they don't even care about that. They're not even making any excuse. As of some other possibilities about the difference between these two categories. Okay, now Veshema Yomar Adam, the Braita continues and says, Mi me'id bi, hey, who's gonna see? I know everyone's outside and they're going to a funeral or they're fasting and praying about something. But I'm going to go home and I'll shut my curtains. Who's going to see that I'm being happy? It won't affect anybody else. And the answer, there's four answers to who may testify against the person. One, Avne beto shel adam bekorot beto shel adam me'aydin bo. Even the stones and beams of a person's house, even though they're inanimate, they can see. And they will testify against him, as it says in Habakkuk Shneimar, Ki even mikir tizak v'chapim me'ayas ya'anenna. The context there is that enemies of Israel that come in and steal building materials from Israel, so that sin, they go and build the other houses, they will cry out, the building materials will cry out against them. So here too. As we mentioned before, Tehillim 91 talks about the two angels Hashem commands to watch over us. Well, they do watch over us, but not only that, if someone does something wrong, something very bad like this, then they also will testify and say, while everybody else was suffering, we saw this guy in his house sitting and eating and drinking. So a person's own soul will testify against him. Soul will testify against the body. Pasuk and Micha is keep the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. In other words, when if you have something negative to say, don't even say it to your closest friend. Don't even say it to your wife. because who knows, it'll be repeated. So, you know, if you have nothing good to say, don't say anything at all, not to anyone. And so just like even one's wife can say something negative, sahir means even closer to you, one's own soul that lies within a person that can testify against them. Others say a person's own body, his very limbs will say, yeah, we were there when this person decided to have a party while everyone else was suffering. As it says, you are my witnesses. Okay, El Emuna Ve'en Avil. The Brayta continues, quoting Pasuk from Ha'azinu, God is a God of faithfulness without iniquity. El Emuna Keshem She'efrei Mina Shem Ha'olam Haba Afilo Avera Kala She'osin. Faithful in that God will punish. Punishment is exacted from the wicked in the world to come, even for a small transgression. Don't think he's a murderer and a thief and he gets punished for that. But for a small thing, a little lashon hara that he did, you think that he's gonna? No, he gets punished for that too. And so too, God is faithful to punish for light things of a tzaddik in this world. But the point is here that the tzaddik has a punishment in this world, so that his slate will be clean for the world to come. Whereas the wicked person, God saves up all their punishment for the world to come. And similarly, the other way around for good. Ben avil keshem shemeshalemin sachatov la tzaddikim olam haba afilu al misvak kala she'osin. For the tzaddik, God will give reward in the world to come, even for a very small thing they did. Could be they did a million great things and saved lives, and maybe they just did one tiny old thing. That God doesn't forget about that all. That gets rewarded too. So too, for a wicked person will get reward in this world, even for a small thing. He gives someone a nice hello, even though he's a terrible guy. He gets rewarded for that, but that happens in this world, so that the evil person that gets all the reward in this world to have only punishment in the world to come, and the righteous person gets all their reward in the world to come. So that's all saved up. And this is one popular explanation of Sadiq Vada'at Lo of the theodicy. Sadiq v'yashar hu, continuing the pasuk in Hazinu. Amru b'shat patirato shel adam lebet olamo kol ma'asav nifratin lifanav. Omrim lo, kam v'kach asita makom peloni b'yom peloni v'omer hen. So, when a person dies and goes to his eternal home, all of his deeds are going to be delineated before him, every single detail. And they're going to say, look, here's what you did at this place on this very day. It's going to be like a video camera in slow motion. And he's going to show it to him. And then you can't deny it when you see it right there on the screen. So you can ask, he's going to have to say, yes, I in fact did that. And they're going to say, okay, sign here. That you did that you agree, that you're guilty. V'omrim lo hen, v'omrim lo chatom, v'choteim, sh'ne'emar, v'yad kol adam yachtom. Pasukin yob, every hand will sign. V'lod ela sh'mastik alev et hadin, v'omer lahem yafed dantuni, l'kem sh'emar l'man tistak v'dobrecha. And not only that, the person will say, you know what, the judgment is righteous. I deserved what was coming to me. And you'll see that in the world to come, everything will be totally fair, totally transparent. And that's what that's what the Pasuk says, that you may be justified when you speak and be right when you judge. We call this today, till today, Siduk Hadin. When someone dies, we say Tefillah that quotes Pasukim that are like this. And we say we accept the judgment, for good or for bad. We know that it's fair. Amar Shemuel, Kol Yashe Betanit Nikra. Okay, now we get to the next topic, which is about asceticism. And what's the deal with that? Is it good or bad? So Shmuel says, anyone who fasts is called a sinner. Not good to fast. Amazing. Don't fast. So but we're in a Masechet Ta'anit. And yet right here it says Shmuel disagrees with the concept. So about ki haitana detanya rabbi el azar ha-kapar. Rabbi omer, ma tamud omar v'chiper alav me'asher hata al ha-nafesh. And he would follow the opinion of the late Tana, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar is famous for his teachings, but also because archaeologists not long ago found this lintel that was on top of a Beit Midrash in Galilee. And it says, Ze Beit Midrasho Shel Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. Elazar HaKapar. So this might have been a later sign. It's not clear if it was actually from his time or in a Beit Midrash that was named for him. Okay, but anyway, what does he say? He learned something from Nazir. Regarding the Nazir, it says that if he should become Tameh, then he has to do Kapara. He has to and start again. Then it says, V'chiper alav, me'asher chata ala nafesh. He has to make expiation because of the guilt that he incurred through a corpse. He's not allowed to become Tameh with a corpse. And if he did, even if by mistake, he has to start all over again. So that's a chata ala nafesh. But now the midrashic reading, what nefesh did he sin with? Rather, according to Beel Zakapad, the negative thing he did is not that he became tameh, but in general, any nazir, even one who doesn't become tameh, the sin is that he abstained from wine, and one should not do that. Hashem gave us lots of blessings, and so we should take part in all the blessings that are permitted that Hashem has given to us. You know, if you go to someone's house and they make a dinner for you, and you say, "No, I'm gonna be a tzedek. I'm not gonna eat." Right? Your host will be insulted. So too, Hashem opens his hands and gives us these fine things to enjoy. So we should. It's appropriate to enjoy them. The nazir, for whatever reason, he's off center. He has to do something different from everyone else, and he has to take a break from wine. Maybe he's like alcoholics do. So he has to go to an extreme, but that itself is an extreme that is a result of an opposite extreme. It's negative. So therefore, one should not abstain from things that are permitted. The Nazir only abstained from wine, and he's called a sinner. So all the more so, someone who abstains from all food and drink, or if it's a serious fast, even from other inuyim, then all the more so, that person is called a sinner. Okay, so that's Shemuel. One should not take upon himself fasts that are not necessary. Rabbi Elazar Omer, but there's another Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Elazar Kapar, who says the opposite. Nikra Kadosh Shene'emar, Kadosh Yiyeh Gadel Pera Se'ar Rosho. He's also learning from Nazir, from the few pesukim before, that says all the throughout the term of his vow as a Nazirite, no raised such his head shall remain consecrated until the completion of his term. There you go. Kadosh yiyeh gadol pera se'ar rosho. So it sounds like he's holy. And we can learn also from him, this person who abstained only from one thing, from wine, and he's called holy. So someone who abstains from all food and drink is even holier. So there you go. It's a good thing to fast. All right. So now we have two very clear opinions. What are they each going to do with the other pasuk? V'lishmuel ha'ikre kadosh. Well, what do you say to that? Isn't he called holy? He says, no. Hu agidul pera ka'eh. What's called holy there is only the hair that's going to grow. That hair is holy. When you cut it, you have to treat it in a special way, and we burn it, so that the hair is holy, but his act is not holy. Rabbi Elazar, ha nikre chote, ahu desaib nafshe. Rabbi Elazar, isn't he called a sinner? No. He said that's Rabbi Elazar says. Look at the peshat. Only if someone becomes impure by a corpse, then he's called a chote. Otherwise, he's fine. And so both of them have good counter arguments based on the peshat context. Now, Rabbi Elazar, he's the one that says it's virtuous. It's good. It's good to fast. But we have another statement by him that says the opposite. This is a really interesting derasha. A person should always consider himself, or treat himself, as if there is holiness that's immersed within his intestines. As it says, within you is holiness. In other words, our bodies are holy. We are a container for our soul. We have a divine present within us. We're a divine image. And therefore, even our insides, even our digestive system itself has God's holiness in it. And therefore, it's to fast and to make it suffer is negative. We have to keep ourselves 100% healthy and give it everything it needs. Okay, quite an amazing concept. This Torah Shalom explains the first two Pesukim, not the rest of it. The Lo Ba'avo Ba'ir, we saw this on a previous daf. It goes daf he, and they have a different learning from it. Okay, so just focused on that, that will be the idea. So now it'll be Elazar, which one is it? First you said that fasting is good, and now you said that fasting is bad because we should treat our insides as if they are holy, and you wouldn't want to cause suffering to something holy. So depends on the person. If a person can handle the distress, then it's good. If a person can handle it and he's going to cause himself like permanent damage and real distress and, you know, not be able to function, then it's negative. So if it's an undue burden, then that would detract from the person's physical holiness. But otherwise, if you can handle it, it's good. Reish Lakish amar nikra chasid. Reish Lakish said this person is called a chasid. It's not clear who he's talking about. Let's see. There's two opinions. Shene'emar gomer nafsho ish chasid ve'ocher she'ero ve'gomer. So Rashi says gomel doesn't mean here to give, but rather like to be weaned away from. When a baby is weaned, so someone who weans himself and abstains from food, that's called the ish chasid. So this is agreeing with Rabbi Elazar that says not only is it good, it's an extra pious. It's wonderful to fast. The Tosafot says an opposite meaning, which is that gomel nafsho, someone who gives to himself, is ish chasid. This is the NJPS translates here, a kindly man benefits himself. A cruel man makes trouble for himself. The point, the Peshat seems to mean, when you're kind, not only are you kind to others, it also is good for you. And so that would be the idea that it's good, you should take care of yourself, be kind to your body. And so that's good. So therefore, the chassid would be someone who doesn't fast, like Shemuel. Okay, that would be the exact opposite. Amar Rav Sheshat, hai bar ber av deyate betanita lechol kalba. And supporting that reading that it's this Reish Lakish means bad to fast, the next line says something similar, that someone who is a student in the Bet Midrash and who fasts, so a curse should come upon him that a dog should eat his food. In other words, if you're studying Torah, you need all your strength to study it, and don't go and do this other be ascetic and this other type of piety, because it'll take away from the more important service that this person is doing of studying Torah. All right. Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba en ta'anit zibur bebabel ela tisha be'ab bilbar. Yirmiyah said that the only made fast, meaning a full fast, you know, of 24 hours, that you have all that with all the inuim, and the only one that's observed in Babel, is Tisha B'Av. Why? Because in Eretz Israel, if it didn't rain for a long time, then they would start the minor fast, and then they would do the major fasts, you know, fasts that are as they have all the 25 hour fast plus all the five inuyim. But in Bavel, they don't rely on rain. They have the rivers. And so they never come to that point of famine that they would need to have these more serious fasts. Of course, Yom Kippur is Doraita. Of course, everyone has that. Amar Rav Yehuda Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar Reish Lakish En Tamid Chacham Rashai. So he says, as he said here before, right? This is also giving support that Reish Lakish is against fasting, that he says that a Torah scholar is not permitted, even if he wants to, he's not permitted to fast, because then he will not be able to learn Torah with strength, and that is the service of heaven. So you're not doing anyone a favor by fasting. Someone is not learning Torah anyway, and they, you know, they're just going to work, whatever, and they could work just fine. And well, they don't need that mental activity. They're just doing some, selling some goods on the street. So other people can fast, but not Torah scholar. Question?
Would that fit in with the Reish Lakish being a gladiator? And he would have to work out to keep his strength. And
I think if Reish Lakish was here, he'd be very, very upset that you said that. All right. At this point, he was not a gladiator anymore. He made teshuvah, right? He was a Torah scholar. So I think he's saying as a Torah scholar, and that Torah scholar is the war of Torah, right? Needs even more strength.
but he would appreciate the, taking care of your body from his previous experiences.
Okay, maybe, but I would be afraid to say that. Okay, ochlin v'shotin mishecha shecha. So now we get to the halacha parts about the requirement to accept the fast the day before, and then the idea of fasting not for a full day, not even for a few for a full 12 hours, but even just for a few hours. Is there such a concept? Okay, so the Mishnah said that on the first set of fasts, if rain doesn't fall by the 17th of Cheshvan, so those are short fasts. You can eat at night, just in the morning at sunrise, you stop eating. Dawn, you stop eating. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Huna, Yachid shekibel alav ta'anit, afilu achav v'shata kol ha'layla, lemachar mitpalel tefilat ta'anit. When a person accepts upon himself a fast, here's the main idea that if you are fasting, in these cases, the Beit Din will make a fast for the Yechidim and then for everybody else. But sometimes the person accepts the fast upon himself. If he has a bad dream or whatever reason, he's praying intently for something. So you have to accept the fast the day before, during Mincha. You say, tomorrow I'm going to fast. Now, even though you accepted your fast before sunset, you could still eat at night. That's not a problem. You're not breaking it because the fast only begins out when it gets light out. So even if one eats and drinks the whole night, on the next day, he can say the special tefillah for ta'anit. That refers to the berachav anenu that we add in generally when we're praying, when we, in tefillat lachash, we put it into Shema Kolenu, and then during chazara, the chazan will say a separate beracha. So as he's fasting all day, he can say the separate beracha. Lan betanito ano mitpalel shel ta'anit. This person, let's say he fasted during the daytime and then he fell asleep before sunset and never broke his fast. And then he sleeps the whole night, or he sleeps a few hours of the night. And then he wakes up and he says, oh, look, I'm still fasting. So, why don't I say arbit and I'll say with anenu? Or if you fast till the morning, he'll just keep going and he'll say shacharit. Can he say anenu? No, he cannot. Even though he's fasting continuously, but he did not accept upon himself that he's going to fast. So if you get so busy and you forget to eat, and says, oh, look, I fasted. Now I could say anenu. No, you didn't accept it from before. So that's the paradox. If you accept it from before, even if you eat at night, you can say anenu the next day. If you didn't accept it before, even if you didn't eat the whole night, into the next day, you cannot say anenu. Amar Rav Yosef, my kasavar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said this. So I want to analyze. What do you think? Sevira le en mit anin le sha'ot, oh, dilma. What was this thinking about this the next night that you even if you fast for a few hours, you don't say anenu? Is it because he says there's no such thing as fasting for a few hours? The minimum amount is a 12-hour period, right? Daybreak till sunset. So there's no such thing as fasting, therefore it wouldn't make sense. Or maybe he thinks that there is such a concept of fasting for a few hours. It does something. However, it just doesn't rise to the level that you would say anenu, that you could say that official prayer. So, which of these is the case that he doesn't say? He says, don't say the prayer of ta'anit. This is basically misunderstood him. Rav Huna thinks you can fast for only a few hours, and if you do that and accept it upon yourself before, you can even say anenu. The only problem in this case is that these hours at night, he didn't think of it beforehand. He didn't accept upon himself the fast beforehand. And therefore, it's not official. The idea of fasting isn't just that you happen to not eat. It means you intentionally take upon yourself a commitment that you will not eat. And as anybody who's ever fasted knows that, right, when you can't eat, it's much more difficult than when you just happen to not get around to eating, right? Just psychologically, the fact that you can't go and eat is what makes it even more difficult. So that's the main point. Okay, Morukva ikla le gin zak. Morukva, he was the Resh Galuta, the exilarch. He's in charge of the community in Bavel. And he went, maybe he would make rounds in different cities, and he went to this place called the Ginzak Baumine. When he got there, he was not only the political head of the community, but he was also learned himself. We'll see how learned. So they asked, the residents asked him, Mitanin l'sha'ot, or any mitanin l'sha'ot? Lava bides. So they asked him this very question. Can you fast just for a few hours, not a whole day? He didn't know the answer. And so they asked him another question. If you have clay jars that you acquire that belong to Gentiles and you want to use them, are they kosher or not kosher? Is it allowed? If it has, this would be jars that maybe would hold wine. So it had non-kosher wine in it. So then we empty it out. Can we use it? Lava bide, he didn't know the answer. Very random questions. When Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was serving in the Mishkan during the seven days of inauguration, during those days, Moshe was acting like the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohanim, they were themselves were being inaugurated during that time. So when he served and did all the korbanot, what did he wear? Did he wear the clothing of a Kohen or of Kohen Gadol? Well, he would have to if he's doing the service. On the other hand, he's not actually a Kohen, so maybe he can't. So maybe he's wearing regular clothes, everyday clothes. But then how could he serve with regular clothes? That's the question. Lahav Abideh didn't know the answer to that either. Okay, so Morukva, he knows his limitations. And what made him a great leader is that if he didn't know, he would ask. So he goes to Bemidrash and asks them, listen, I got these questions. Can you help me answer them? Yes, halacha is, as we said before, according to Ravuna, that you can fast for just a few hours. And if you do, that prayer that's said during those few hours, you would even say anenu there. Mutarin. And other halacha is that if you want to use clay wine jars that were used by non-Jews, if you wait 12 months, then it is permitted. The idea is that after 12 months, any possible taste that was absorbed by them is going to be gone, is going to taste bad, maybe probably gone altogether, and therefore one is allowed to use them. This is a very interesting halacha that comes up. Because a lot of times people want to buy a set of china, antique china, and it's antique, so that means it was used before by non-Jews. But you don't mind waiting; you can wait a year and until you use it. Is it permitted? And so this Talmud only says that's permitted for non-kosher wine. It doesn't say that's permitted if it was used for other non-kosher food. And this is a big machloket among poskim. Hacham Sevi was lenient on it, but I think most others are not lenient, and therefore there's really no way to kosher an antique set of china. Okay, b'mesh shimesh Moshe kol shibat yimei miluim b'haluk lavan. And what did Moshe wear? He wore a special white cloak. He didn't wear the clothing of Kohen Gadol. He didn't wear his regular overalls either. He wore a special white garment. Rav Kana matne bechaluk lavan she'en lo imra. Rav Kana added that it was a white cloak that didn't have a hem. Now, if you don't have a hem on something, then it will wear away, right? The threads on the side will come undone. So maybe that's the very point, that it didn't have a hem to show that I'm only wearing this temporarily, right? Don't think that I'm now the Kohen Gadol. I'm here just to serve until we get the regular system started. Amar Rav Chista, Hadamar mit anin le shaot vehu shelo tam kelum ad ha'erev. This is although we said before that one can fast for just a few hours, Rav Chista is of the opinion that those few hours has to include going until sunset. That it has to end at sunset in order for it to be considered anything at all. Abaye says, wait a second. He understands him as saying that you have to start from before, from sunrise, and then not eat till sunset. And it says, if that's the case, then that's a full, that's not for just for hours, that's a full fast. So what are you teaching us? What chidush do you have? And so this is the answer is where he changed his mind. He didn't intend to fast at the beginning of the day, but then he got busy with work and stuff. And then he already missed breakfast. And then in the middle of the day, he says, you know what? I decide I'm going to fast today. That's what's called a fast of hours. So in a way, this is more lenient than the previous opinion. The previous opinion said, yeah, you have to decide the day before. And he says, you can even decide that day. You can't decide in the middle of the day. If you ate breakfast, you can't decide, oh, you know what? I'm going to fast for the next 10 minutes. That's not considered a fast, right? But if you didn't eat at all yet, then you can start now and you go till sunset. Then that is considered a legal fast with all the implications regarding the tefillah. And it would, you know, count if you had to, if you took upon yourself a fast for something, this would count as a fast day. Baruch Adonai, Olam, Amen, V'Amen.